Welcome into a special 2024 trade deadline edition. Alexis Downey alongside Brian Hayward. And we're pleased to be joined by the Anaheim Ducks general manager, Pat Verbeek. Pat, first of all, how are you feeling? The deadline just passed. How's it going for you today?
Well, I'm relieved. Now it's over. So we can kind of focus now with the remaining 20 games of the season. There's going to be, you know, a lot of opportunity for some of our younger players and some of our depth players to get opportunities to really showcase for the next 20 games for next year.
Pat, I want to get into the trade deadline a little bit, and let's talk about, you know, the Carrick and Henrique deal with the Oilers. How did that come together? You happy with what you got? I know you were coveting another first round pick.
Yeah, I know. I'm really excited for the return that we received on the players. Certainly, they're two character players. I mean, it, you know, went from that standpoint, it's always difficult to lose two character players within your locker room. And but I think giving those two guys the opportunity to go and play in the playoffs and play on, you know, on a really good team, I think was really good for them. And I think that, you know, the return we got really is going to help us move forward to have us push, you know, to get in the playoff race for next year.
It was a different market this year, and teams seemed to be jumping ahead of what people talked about, the actual deadline. How was the return affected by the market, guys jumping in early and kind of establish, I guess, what expected returns other people were looking at were going to be?
Well, I think some of it played into it. Certainly, you know, a couple trades impacted probably a little bit with Henrique and Carrick. But I think for me, I try not to get too affected by what, you know, what's going on in the market. I had multiple teams interested in both players. And so I think that that helped my situation or our situation with the Ducks.
A couple of other players that you've picked up here, either through trade or off of the waiver wire. Maybe you could give us a little bit of background on Jan Misak, William Lagesson, and Ben Myers.
Well, Misak's just kind of, he's a former second round pick. He's a guy that he competes. He works hard. He's a guy that hopefully one day we might be able to get into a third line role, but we feel kind of comfortable. He's got a chance to play in a fourth line role. The things that he brings from a work ethic, from a compete level, you know, we're seeking out. And so that was, you know, part of, you know, the initial trade with Perreault. I think with Lagesson's really adding depth on our defense, I think that, you know, we're down the seventh defense. We're really thin in San Diego as well, and certainly want to give our, you know, San Diego a chance to make the playoffs, to be able to push and to be able to, you know, from our defense standpoint, it certainly, it would hurt if we had any injuries up here that would, you know, hurt for the remaining 20 games. Myers is a player when I was with Detroit that we tried to sign him as a college free agent. Our guys have really liked him, in Colorado. Obviously he was in a tough situation there where he wasn't going to be able to get quality ice time, with the type of team that they have. So we saw it as an opportunity to be able to give him a chance to, you know, play for a third line spot on our team. So anyway, we really like the player, and we're going to, you know, really get to view him over the last 20 games here.
You guys are still well under the cap, and now that the trade deadline's over, there's no roster limit anymore. Might we see more than 23 players up with the big club?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're going to, you know, we used one recall today to bring back Olin Zellweger for, you know, what looks like the rest of the season. So, and you know, now we have three more, and I'd like to be able to, guys that that are earning it in San Diego, kind of want to get a few looks with them in the remaining part of the schedule.
So you have a young locker room in the Ducks. And when you were looking at the market during this trade deadline, were there opportunities to add a veteran leader into the mix in the Ducks locker room?
No, Alexis, like that never really had a chance for that to happen. So, you know, that might be things that we, you know, explored during the summertime in free agency.
Now you have 7 picks in the first 3 rounds of this year's draft. As far as just looking ahead to that and adding to the prospect pool, you know, how will that continue to grow that end of the organization?
Well, it's certainly going to, you know, give us a chance to really make our organization deep. I hate to say it, but unfortunately, you need a lot of swings. You just, you know, it's, this is a business where it's not perfect in the sense that you can be able to be, you know, predict how these, you know, all these draft picks are going to turn out. So certainly some turn out better than you think, and some don't turn out as well as you think. So you need as many quality players as you can to, you know, to make a great team.
We've seen in the last 2 trade deadlines now, we've seen veterans on expiring contracts leave. People look at the Ducks and where we are in the standings, and they say, well, these guys are sellers once again. Is the hope next year that you are no longer a seller?
Well, I think the way the team's going to probably set up is I don't see that as being a possibility. I mean, it might be a rare occasion, but I don't see it in the sense that we're starting to get to a point now where we've got our young core, we've got our young players, we've got our veteran players now. Now it's time for everybody to, you know, take a step, our young guys to take a step, gain some experience and get better and start to improve in a way that puts us in a playoff race.
Maybe just a general comment from you on this season. I mean, I know it's been a frustrating season, especially with some of the recent injuries and the number of one goal losses that you guys have been involved in, that team hasn't just got over that hump to make that step that maybe you were hoping for. So, you know, what are your thoughts on that? And what do you think the magic bullet is to kind of change that?
Well, I think part of that, that's part of the process, Brian, for me, those one goal games, I think it's experience. I think, you know, another year for our young players to understand how close they are and to really push, you know, I see them taking a step in multiple ways. One, they're going to get stronger. And 2, they now have more experience. They understand, you know, what Greg Cronin's asking them to do on a daily basis. They understand the systems now, and I expect them to be smarter, more mature in how they deal with those situations next year. And so, you know, you mentioned the injuries. Yeah, it's been kind of a little bit frustrating, but I think every team deals with that. And, you know, it's just something, it's just an attitude that, you know what, we're going to deal with it, but we still have to come out and play our best and play within ourselves to, you know, overturn those one goal games. And I think I'm actually really happy with how, even though our record hasn't shown it, I'm very happy with the progress and the steps we've taken in multiple areas. Losing those one goal games means that we've taken steps in how well we're, you know, how much better we're playing with our system, our goals against or down, our goals for or up. So there's a lot of positives in that sense. I think some of the things that's really been positive is our culture is changing for the better. Our compete level, our work level has taken huge jumps. And Greg Cronin and, you know, the coaching staff have held, you know, players accountable, you know, to that standard. And so part of it, the process is every player has an understanding of what's expected of them, and it's not a surprise. And so it's not a shock to them, you know, for next year when they hit the ice, they're going to know this is what's expected. We're going to hit the ice running.
You talk about now the Ducks having that core a bit more, and just, was there a higher demand for some of the players that are on the Ducks roster this year during the deadline?
I would say, you know, you always get, you know, get calls for players, but, you know, things that, like, I guess any general manager, when they're trying to look to improve their team, they're going to the C, they're always going to check the C. So, you know, I do the same thing. So it just, you know, when you're looking to try and improve, add different chemistry to your lineup, those calls all take place.
As you look towards the end of this season and the end of potentially the college season as well, obviously having playoffs there, but is there a plan in place to sign any of those college Ducks prospects?
Yeah, I think Sam Colangelo, I understand that Ian Moore is going to probably go back to college and finish his senior year. Sam Colangelo, we've been in touch with their agent and looking to sign him when his season's over. Same with Cutter Gauthier, and I think both those players, they play on pretty good teams, and so their teams could go to the end. So it's hard to say at this point, but we have plans and a plan in place to deal with that when their season ends.
The Hockey News Future Watch came out today, and the Ducks were ranked number one in the NHL in a poll of top 21 and under NHLers plus the prospects. How proud are you to see that the Ducks are now in that position and just getting recognized at that level?
Well, I think it's exciting. Certainly, it's always the proof is in the pudding, you know, when you start to win some Stanley Cups. So we won't be able to know how good these players are going to turn out. So I'm trying to be conservative, but I'm excited at the same time. I think very proud of our amateur scouts and the job that they've done, over the last couple of years with the players that we've acquired through the draft. And now the hardest thing now is pushing them as hard as we can to get stronger and to mature quicker than, you hope. But at the same time, we have to remain patient as well.
Pat, now that the deadline is over, you can take a breath and exhale for a little while at least. But, the NHL season and schedule is relentless, and the draft isn't that far away. Is there a possibility that some of your veteran players, names like Gibson and Vetrano, Fowler, could be moved at the draft?
I'm not looking to do it, Brian. Like, I think that, I always say this, when people ask me those questions, okay, I go, well, Wayne Gretzky got traded. So whoever thought that Wayne Gretzky would get traded? Yeah. Probably nobody. So, I mean, there's always the possibility, but I'm not looking to do it, unless I think it makes sense and to improve the hockey team. So other than that, that's the only reason I would consider it.
Is there a specific need that you look at with this team to be addressed during the off season?
Yes, I think what I'd like to be able to do is look to improve our bottom six. So whether that's from the third line down to the fourth line, and what I mean by improve it is more production. At this point, I find that we're going to need more production in order for us to be able to push for the playoffs. I'm expecting our top six guys to be able to, even if they stayed on the same trajectory that they're doing now with their point production, and maybe just give them a little bit more, whether it's, Leo producing more, to that point, we're not getting enough out of our bottom six forwards in production. When you start to, compare other teams that their bottom six production, that's where I'm going to look to improve our team.
Pat, thanks for joining us today on this trade deadline special. Happy to hear all of your thoughts post-deadline, and we appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Heezy, we just finished up with Pat Verbeek. Just your general takeaways from his thoughts on the trade deadline.
Well, I think more than anything, he's thrilled to get another first rounder. When you look at it now, seven picks in the first three rounds. We had six in the first three rounds last year. So this is really the opportunity for Pat to lay the foundation moving forward for this club with high-end talent. And obviously, he's got a lot of trust in his amateur scouts. He mentioned how happy he has been with their work. What we're hearing about the upcoming draft is that in the top 15 or so players are can't miss players. Once again, it's a deep draft for the top 15, and then there's a drop off. Mm-hmm. And when you hear about the number of second round and third round picks, they're in that drop-off stage. And that what that boils down to is amateur scouting and finding those real gems in the second and third round. So he said, it's about taking multiple swings, and the ducks are in a good position to take multiple swings. So I think that's really exciting for him. I also think that, you know, in terms of his discussion about the team this year and looking forward, I know he's a little bit disappointed, and I know fans are a little bit disappointed about the number of points that we've got this year, but it does set up, and it does seem like this team is poised to make a big step next year. All the young kids are going to be a year older with a lot of games under their belt, and so it's no longer just getting reps for them. It's now executing during the games and getting wins. I mean, that's the jump that young players have to make on a rebuilding team. They got to figure out how now they're going to win all those one goal losses that we've been sustaining this year and flip it. And that's the belief I think that Pat has. And I hope that's exciting for the fans to realize that the expectation next year is not to go through another season like we've had in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And also just in looking ahead to the potential for some of the college prospects coming, some people down in San Diego, it sounds like they'll be in the mix towards the end of this season in these next 20 games.
I can't wait to see Cutter Goche here.
Me too.
Honestly, a big left wing who's a goal scorer, a natural goal scorer, has been his entire life. And, you know, you just imagine looking forward with Leo Carlson with a big, powerful, goal-scoring left wing on his left side and the potential that that creates along with Zegras and Terry and McTavish and the rest. That gets pretty exciting when you start thinking about what the Ducks' top six are going to look like. You heard Pat reference his objective during the offseason will be to strengthen the bottom six. Mm-hmm. That's because when you look at what the top six looks like, it
looks
pretty,
options.
Looks pretty darn solid up front. Yeah.
As far as to some of the additions and acquisitions that we also have acquired, Myers, Misak, Lagesson, what did you think about just his thoughts on that? And then also, of course, there's the Myers and Cronin connection from Colorado as well.
Well, Ben Myers is an interesting one, and I can't wait to see him. I haven't seen him play that often. You know, we talked with Greg Cronin earlier today, and you know, Greg's obviously a big fan and a fan of his work ethic. He's a fireplug type of player. He's pretty thick, and he's a forechecker, and he can really skate. So, you know, time will tell whether he has an immediate future here with the Ducks and certainly a big part of their plans for next year. I don't know anything about Jan Misak. You know, he's a guy, a Czech player that was a big scorer at the World Junior Championship. And it'll be interesting to see if he's the type of player that fits into the mold that Verbeek and Cronin are setting for these guys. And it was interesting to hear Pat say, you know, he's very excited about the steps that are being taken in terms of rebuilding the culture here. And when I hear that word culture, to me, it translates more than anything into two things, professionalism and work ethic. There have been some games this year where the Ducks have been outworked by their opponent. But as the season has moved along, that's happened much more infrequently.
Agreed.
And so as a result, you kind of see that now that culture is starting to shift, and it doesn't happen overnight, but it feels like they're making strides in the right direction.
And certainly just having different lineups that we're going to be seeing in these next couple games, but adding depth on the back end as well, kind of changing that up, adding William Lagesson as well. Just curious to see, you know, how he'll come in and potentially fit a spot on the back end in the defensive core.
Well, we're loaded with defensemen. And, you know, we often talk about, or probably don't talk about it enough, how Tristan Luno was doing before he got hurt, you know, because he was a kid that was on a, you know, hockey stick growth, you know, that because he was going straight up and he was quarterback in a power play. Now, when you factor him in, you know, Noah Warren in, when you start adding in Tyson Hines, it's going to be a hell of a camp next year, you know, competing for spots with the big club and understanding now that the expectation of management and coaches is that the team is not going to be languishing at the bottom of the Pacific Division, but competing once again, hopefully for a playoff spot. It's not going to be about giving young guys opportunities anymore. It's going to be who deserves the right to be here in order for the Ducks to win games. And that's a shift, mm-hmm. too. That's a big shift.
Certainly an exciting future ahead for the Anaheim Ducks, and looking forward to see how all of it comes to fruition towards the end of this season and moving ahead into the offseason and even looking further ahead to next season. But Hazy, thanks for joining us today on this trade deadline special. Always great to have your insight on this.
Pleasure to be here. It's going to be a fun ride.
Absolutely. And thank you all for listening to this episode of the trade deadline special for 2024.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.